Welcome to Think Like a CEO, where we discuss business, life, and leadership lessons with Gary Keller, CEO and Chairman of Keller Williams Realty. I'm your host, Jay Papasan. On today's show, we'll discuss how a successful CEO creates an energy within their company that paves the way to success. All right, Gary, here we are again. In the last episode, we kind of outlined the basic model for thinking like a CEO, the three steps: create energy, engage talent, and own results. Today, we're going to talk about creating energy. Let's go a little bit deep on that.
Yeah.
The two pieces that you outlined in the first one, where it's like it starts with purpose and then you have a plan behind it. That's how CEOs create energy in their business.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, purpose has a formula, Jay. And it's mission, vision, values, beliefs, and perspective. It's also true that if you don't do that, you don't have leadership.
So mission is...
Yeah. So mission is, where are we going? Vision is, what's our life going to look like while we're doing it? And then what does it look like when we're done? Values is what's important to us. Beliefs are the rules that we follow. Perspective is, at any point in time, how are we doing?
Right.
So if you think about that, here's where we're going. Here's what our lives are going to look like when we do it, when we get done. Here's what's important to us. Here's the rules we're going to follow. And here's where we are right now. You get energized just listening to that. And you realize that that is leadership, which is essentially how CEOs think.
A lot of people shorten that to just casting a vision. I actually love it. We wrote about this in The One Thing. Breaking it down into all those pieces actually helps you take action on it. Like, what am I actually supposed to do as a leader here?
It does. It makes it a little deeper, makes it a little more nuanced, and it kind of covers all the bases. It's not just mission. It's also setting an expectation around, well, what is this? What's our life going to be like doing this? Can you imagine what it's going to be like, right? And values, you need to set out real clearly, what are you not going to violate? Right? What are your morals, ethics, or the things that are important to you so that you never violate those, right? And then beliefs, well, what are the rules of engagement? When we interact together, what are our beliefs about that, right? Are we going to lie to each other? Are we going to tell the truth? Are we going to communicate or not communicate? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, you need a simple set of rules of engagement so that everybody is playing on the same field. And this is how you create culture. When everyone is united around understanding where we're going and what life's going to look like, the expectation, and measuring our success against what it will look like if we're falling short of that, and then making sure that we never violate any of our values and that we're playing by and can hold each other accountable to certain rules to interact with each other. And we're constantly testing the water with perspective, saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? This is how you build culture. When they talk about how do you build culture, this is how you do it. You take some common themes and you attach words to those themes, and then you hold your actions accountable back to achieving the words and accomplishing the themes. This is where culture comes from, which is the whole purpose of energy.
And I'm going to just say the word purpose because you said it, because one of the lessons I've learned from working with you is every business has a culture. Every business has a purpose.
It does.
Just was it made on purpose or not?
Well, that's right. Most cultures are inherited. In other words, they just start running the business and then they look up and they have a culture. And I think you and I would prescribe to anyone who wants to have the greatest life, greatest business life possible, is have a culture by design.
Right.
And the best way to do that is be a leader and bring energy to your business through a very powerful purpose. And the most powerful purpose is going to be prescriptive around mission, vision, values, beliefs, and an ongoing sense of perspective.
And I'm hopefully not going to wreck this story. We talked about it in the first season. You didn't consciously build Keller Williams with all of these pieces, but at one point you stopped. You got your people around you and you actually analyzed, why are we all in business? What is it you love about this company? And you reversed engineered it so you could get really clear and be purposeful.
Yeah, I did. It was when we started expanding outside of Austin. As long as I showed up, everything kind of seemed to work and everything lined up. And it wore me out though. So then I stopped traveling so much. And when I did, things started to fall apart. I didn't quite understand that. Over the next year, and then a few years later, I did it again. I got in a room with a group of people and ask the question, why do you enjoy working here, right? What matters to you? And out of that, we began to build this sense of culture, which we ultimately laid out in a belief system for our company. So we created a belief system. And then a few years later, that was slightly inadequate. And so we kind of had a purpose and a goal, and meaning that we had a mission. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had this culture built around this belief system, but we hadn't gone any further. And then I was introduced to a coach who I hired and put us all in a room. And over a two-day period, we fleshed out this idea of what is the bigger picture of purpose. And we filled it out with mission, vision, values, beliefs, and an understanding that you're always checking in on with perspective on how you're doing. And that created an energy in our organization that—
Common language. And as long as I've been here for 19 years— And I've seen it tweaked. It's not like a set it and forget it kind of thing. You pay attention to it, you nurture it, yeah. And it's been tweaked over the years. So, I mean, thanks for going back and sharing that story.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, there's a fun story. I won't take too long to tell it, but it's an old tale that most of us know, and it's the tale of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Mm-hmm. And I always like to say that Dickens gave us the formula for thinking like a CEO, thinking like a leader in this simple little book, which really was transformative. And I'll give you the killer version of it quickly. But, you know, there's this gentleman named Ebenezer Scrooge, and his view on the world, his mission is for him to go make money. His vision is that everything's about him, that it's all about him, and that he has everything, and he doesn't care. His vision for other people is you have whatever you have. His values were that money goes to the person who can get it, and I value money as what it can do for me. And his beliefs were, his rules were, the person who has the gold makes the rules. And his perspective was, I wake up every day, and I try to get as much for me as possible. Good luck getting yours. And one night he goes to sleep and he's visited by his former partner. And his partner says, Scrooge, right? He goes, Scrooge, you don't want to turn out the way I turned out, but if you don't turn back, you know, you're going to be Scrooged. And he then says, I'm going to send you three ghosts of the past, present, and future and try to convince you otherwise. And so the next morning, he wakes up, and it's really gotten his attention, and he runs to the window, throws it open. He looks down. There's a boy. He says, boy, you know, what day is it? And the boy says, it's this day. And he says, no, what year is it? And the boy tells him, and he realizes that no time has passed. And then he throws some money to the boy, and he says, I want you to go buy the biggest turkey possible, send it to my nephew, and tell him that I'll see him there for dinner, and then come back because we have a lot of things to do. And he gets dressed. He goes out on the street with the boy. And as he runs into people who over the years had asked him to do things for them and help them and give them money or whatever, his tune has completely changed. And he's saying, here, I know you were asking for this. I'm going to give you twice as much and this sort of thing. And then the next day, he hides behind the door when Bob Cratchit, his employee, comes to work and he's late. And when Bob comes in, he jumps out and he goes, Bob, you're late. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it was Christmas Eve. We were celebrating. We were partying. And he says, you're fired. And I'll only rehire you if you'll take twice as much money as I used to pay you. Well, he's shocked, by the way, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then he says, and we're going to your house. And he goes to his home and he says, where's Tiny Tim? And he says, we're going to cure Tiny Tim. And true to his word, he does. And what's really interesting, what's happened here, Dickens has crafted a really wonderful leadership story, a transformative story, because now what's happened is Scrooge's mission is to help others, that life is meant to be lived in relationship and helping other people. And his vision is that people are happy, that in relationship with him, people have better lives. Mm-hmm. And he looks up and he goes, my values have changed, right? All of a sudden, I value people. And money is good for the good it can do. And his beliefs are, the rules that he follows now, is that money is good for the good it can do. And I'm going to do, my rules are, I'm going to go out to make as much money as possible so I can help as many people as possible. And that's it. And it's the point that Dickens makes is that once you change your perspective, everything changes.
Yes.
So that's kind of where the formula comes from, this mission, vision, values, beliefs, and perspective. We can trace it all the way back to Charles Dickens.
I love it. Thank you. I'm always impressed when you can do that just on the cuff.
Well, I have a copy of that book that sits right there on my credenza.
Right. It's in that special selection of books that you go back to and go back to.
It's just sitting there. Yes. I just look at it. And it's almost it's one of those touchstones, right? Yeah. Just remind you.
Love it.
Yeah.
So purpose. Let's talk about plan. That's the other half, the other 50% of this creating energy. So we're going to have a plan.
We do.
And I love about this conversation, just living it right now. You and our president, Josh, like y'all are coming to the end of a big plan, like a 4 or 5 year journey. It's not like just planning by the week and the month.
That's right.
Most people think about an annual plan.
Right.
So,
well we're kind of, as you're referring to Keller Williams, we're entering the last stage of phase one.
Right.
Of what is a very, very, very large plan that we started creating. And because of contracts and because of relationships and promises and we had no choice but in many ways to just stay silent and in many ways look like we didn't know what we were doing while we were reinventing ourselves and the company. But we created a very, 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 very big plan that 5 years is just the beginning for us.
Love that. And to me, it's like we talked about this in the one thing, goal setting to the now. You go out someday. What do we look like someday? That's part of your big vision for the company, right? You're creating energy. Here's where we're going, folks. And based on that, here's what we have to accomplish in 5 years. And then we get really kind of now detailed. Our one-year plan, we call it a GPS, mm-hmm. right? It's a very simple business plan.
Yeah, goals, priorities, and strategies. So it was actually Mo Anderson that came to me many, many years ago and as our CEO at the time. And she came to me and she said, I just attended this seminar and you teach business planning. But I saw this really wonderful formula. And to be honest, I wish I could remember who the person was that had imparted that to Mo. We tweaked it. We changed some things about it, simplified it for our purposes, and it works beautifully. It's called a 1-3-5, which is one goal, it's three priorities, and it's five strategies for each priority. But it allows you to logically think through the big rocks in order to flush out a really simple business plan. And oh, by the way, this is all on one sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of my favorite sayings is if everyone's going to get on the same sheet of paper, get on the same page, then we need to have one page for everyone to get on. And so this idea that business plans are thick and have lots of pages is somewhat impractical. What we want is a plan, a business plan, if you will, Jay, that everyone can fundamentally remember, that it's a mind map. And if it's a single sheet of paper, you can ultimately kind of get a sense of what it is. You can see it in your mind's eye.
You can put it on the poster. You can put it on the wall.
Yeah, you can't put up a manuscript. And I promise you, people aren't walking around going, that part of the plan is on page 32.
It's Appendix B, actually, Gary. Appendix B, right?
They don't do it. And by the way, because they don't do that, they forget the plan. Now, my view is what a lot of people call a business plan is really a very thin operating manual. In other words, they go too much in detail. You've left the concept of a business plan, and you've now gone deep into the details of fleshing that out. Now, this is just my way of looking at it, but those are separate things. Once we get into the weeds of you turn left, you go right, you knock three times, this whole thing of you grab this, you screw that in, you hammer that, you build that, you go do that. We've left the world of what I call a business plan, and you've really, really gotten into an operating manual. This is how everything is going to work. This is how we're going to build it.
I'm obviously a lot newer to business than you, but when I looked at those plans, before I joined your company, that's all I'd ever seen. And I felt like people just created those to go get a loan from the bank. Today, they might be creating a pitch deck to get someone to invest in them, and they're trying to say not only what we're doing, but this is how we do it.
Yeah,
but it's not a plan of action.
No. That's right. And that's exactly
that right. Is why it ends up in somebody's drawer by February 1.
Well, that's exactly right. When you go too detailed on the plan that's going to energize and inform people broadly about what they need to do, you're going to lose people because they're not going to remember it. And when they don't remember it, it's not top of the mind, they're not actually following it. So it right. And this is not the purpose of this conversation, but I think that our organization has seen either myself or Josh or others go to the board and lay out our plan of what we're building on one sheet of paper. And we can go draw the circles and draw the lines and say, right, we've put it into a graphical format.
Oh, yeah. We call it anecdotally the coffee stain, right? And everybody in this organization can kind of, the three circles, we can all draw it.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the battle plan.
That's it. That's actually taking a sheet of paper that has this written out and translating it into a visual that people walk around and go, this is what we're doing. We're building this. And the reason we're building it is because it'll do these things. Yes.
And it's so useful from a business standpoint when everybody in the organization can clearly articulate the goal and the handful of priorities to get it.
That's right.
They all start acting appropriately.
Yeah, that's right.
We've talked about Southwest Airlines. The moment they became the low-cost airline, right, they chose different planes, different hubs. They had the cattle call. They don't serve food, like all of that stuff. And it was really about getting planes in and out faster and faster.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, there's one other piece to that. So you have the 135, and then you have what we would call a 411.
Right.
Yeah, which is 4 weeks, 1 month, and 1 year on one sheet of paper. So again, it's the same idea. And this idea is around taking your job description and the role that you play in this business plan and now fleshing that out into an actual, what do I do? When am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? So that you can articulate that and you can inform others.
So like employee, you know, Jane, the employee in the organization might say, priority 3, strategy 4, like that's on my 411.
That's right.
And now I have to break that down based on what I have to do this month and this week in order to hit the annual goal.
Yeah, what do I have to do this week in order to be on track for the month and track for the year? Then the next week occurs. So what now, based on what I did this week, what do I have to accomplish now this second week in order to be on track for the month, to be on track for the year? It's a way of thinking that lets you see if, right, you don't want to ever go farther than a week out. If possible, to check back in to make sure that everything is lined up.
People are staying in the guardrails. They're not getting off priorities. They're staying on track. Question, and I don't know, like I've never talked to you about this. The CEO's 411. Do they automatically get the big goal? Do they take the number one priority or do they just have the GPS?
No, they have their own.
They have their own.
Yeah, CEO definitely has their own 411 as well that rolls back up to that.
And they just pick the part of that that they're both qualified to tackle.
Well, it's broadly going to say create energy, engage talent, and own results.
That's right.
I mean, that's essentially what it's going to say, right? Who are we? What are we about? What are we supposed to be doing? Where's the plan? Where are the people? And what did we accomplish now? That essentially is the end result of what CEOs or leaders do.
What I love about this, you know, we have plan, purpose. And when we talk about plan, like we're already talking about it. We're getting into people. And that's actually the next episode when we talk about engaging talent.
It is.
So let's just wrap this up. So when we create energy, that starts with, we have a purpose. That's the MVVBP, right? And we can just think of Scrooge.
Yep.
Dickens, we can think about that. And we have a plan. We have a long-range goal. We're looking out maybe 5 years, like specific targets. And based on that, we have a GPS business plan for this year.
That's right.
And based on our GPS, we all have a 411. We know our part and we can act on it appropriately.
That's it.
Boom. Create energy as a CEO.
Absolutely.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you click the subscribe button so new episodes will automatically be downloaded to your device. And please help us reach more people by leaving a rating or a review on your podcast player of choice. Next time on Think Like a CEO, we'll discuss the role a CEO plays in engaging the right talent by capturing their imagination.